Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
The people in this room just sold out, just have bought in. And that's God's heart. See, how we please God, there's only one way we please God, and it's our faith. You know, a lot of people pray, a lot of people cry out to God, a lot of people in need, and you're wondering why some people are blessed and other people aren't. Some people are getting through, other people aren't. I'm telling you, what identifies us to God is our faith, our trust in God's promise. And that's it. Our faith pleases God. And we trust him in whatever we face in life, whatever we're going through. I mean, you might have recently had a doctor's appointment, and that doctor said, "Well, we found a mass, or we found a tumor, or we found some cancer cells, and they've metastasized. They're stage four," and all these scary things that are said. It may be in another area of life, maybe financially, maybe relationally, whatever it is. Okay, anything that tries to apprehend our soul. Okay, those kind of things. Well, our flesh, the outer part of us, wants to say, well, how long do I have? Or what's the treatment? Or what am I have to go through? Or what's my quality of life gonna be? But you know, we have an inner man. We have a part of us that's born of God. And that part of us that's born of God, listen, truly connected with God. See, I'm not connected to God via my senses. I'm not connected to God with my sight or how I feel or even, listen, or even my emotions or my, I'm not, that's not what connects me to God. What connects me to God is my trust and my faith. Listen, in my inner man, in what's born of God. See, I was born again. I became a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's not my haircut. That's not my wardrobe. That's not that's not the temporal things that we identify ourselves with. It's who I truly am now. It's the core of my being. And see, in who I am, what's interesting is people can't identify with that. Only God can. See, that's why we can please men or we can please God. We can't please both. See, so when you look at it, when I try to please people, it's just hard and I get worn out, and it's because the Bible refers to it as being the arm of the flesh. See, what I have to do, it's simply this: the faith that I live in, it's a combination, listen, of what I believe, what I speak, and my actions. So belief, speech, and action. It's what we act upon. It's those three things, but it's a combination of those three. See, we live by faith and we live in the trust of God's promise, not what we see, not how we feel. See, and we've got to get through that. And it's interesting because, man, I've loved this series, and really honestly, I've loved preaching and speaking this series because, man, this is the core of my heart. Man, if we could change the direction from, man, what we can do in our senses and what we can do in our natural ability to what God can do in us. Remember, Peter and John came to the Gate Beautiful and the beggar's sitting there begging, and he's begging some alms, and Peter walks up to him and John and said, in the book of Acts in the fourth chapter, it says that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men. But people marveled because they'd been with Jesus. And because they'd been with Jesus, they walked up to that beggar at the Gate Beautiful and going into the temple to pray, and he's begging alms. And Peter looked at him and said, "Look at me." And then grabbed his arm and pulled him up off his feet. Listen, he was crippled. He had never walked before. And Peter snatched him up off the ground, and when his feet hit the ground, his legs held for the first time in his life. And the Bible said he took off running and jumping and praising God. But what Peter said is, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, See, what did he do? He connected with that core of his strength. See, and we look at it, things look bleak and things look like they're not gonna work out. You know what God's promise is? What the enemy has meant for bad, God will turn it to good. Whatever we can believe and speak, we could say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in our hearts. We'll have whatever we say, but we have to forgive. But the Bible says in the 22nd verse of Mark 11, the 22nd verse, Jesus replied to him and answered and said, have faith in God. And the Amplified says, constantly. The literal translations have the faith of God, have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God constantly. Man, there's so many people. Churches are full of people that are hit and miss in trusting God. People that'll say, well, you know, it's just like me naturally. I can compartmentalize my strengths and weaknesses. Everybody in here can do it. Some of you guys are great with numbers. Some of you guys can run fast. Some of you guys can sing. So, man, I'm strong with numbers. I'm just not very good at, I can't read well, okay? And so now what we do is we take our faith and we assimilate it similarly. And it doesn't work that way. We can't say, well, I've got faith for money, but I don't have faith for health. I've got faith for resources, I just don't have faith for this. And because our faith, listen, it's a complete buy-in, it's a trust. See, our senses cause us to compartmentalize things. But see, our trust in God, it's the God kind of faith. It's faith constantly. And you know what? You know what faith can be? Faith can be awkward. Why? Because it's a collection, it's a combination of what we believe, what we speak, and what we do. See, a lot of times, if what you're believing and what you're saying aren't lining up, it's not going to work. If what you're saying and what you're doing isn't, it's not going to work if they're not in unity. See, a house divided against itself can't stand. See, so now what I've got to do is I've got to know God's promise. I've got to be aware. Listen, I know there's programs that I think they're okay. Okay, I don't have a real affinity for programs that you read through the Bible, the entire Bible in a year. Okay, I think that's great if people do it. I really do. I don't see that kind of value in it. Like to me, I want to study God's word. I want to know God's word. What I'll do is I'll read the book of Acts 4 times in a row. I'll just take an afternoon and just read through the book of Acts and just read through it and just see God show me things I didn't know. That your spirit lead me. And I'm telling you, that could happen if you read through in a year. But for me, it would be more like a conquest. It would be more like, okay, I got through it. And I don't believe that's what etches it in our hearts. So today, just for a few minutes, the minutes we have remaining, let's get in the word. We have an inner man, and that's what's born of God. That's what connects with God. And we also have a flesh, and that's what identifies with our senses. That's why we gossip. That's why we love hearing juicy stories. That's why off-color jokes are funny to us, because we have a flesh. That none of that. I remember when I first became a Christian, the first dirty joke I heard as a Christian, I remember thinking, man, that should be funny. It's just not. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, it's one of those things where I was like, well, shoot, that should be funny, but it's just not. Because I'm a new creation now. My flesh hasn't been impacted. But as soon as that dirty joke, that off-color joke got through my flesh to my inner man, it didn't work. And that's where we have to be led. See, the enemy can't do anything with your inner man, who you are in Christ. But let me tell you, all the outward stuff, see, that's why the Bible says the things you can see are temporary. The things you can't see are eternal. And what you can't see has formed and shaped what you can. See, so now we look at it, the product of our life changes and shifts because the inner part of our life changes. And in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul writes, it says, therefore, we don't lose heart. Now listen, his next two words are pivotal. Even though We don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Even though we're going through something, we don't lose heart. See, the only reason you'd lose heart is because you're led by your flesh. You're led by your emotions. You're led by your attitudes. You're led. But see, we don't lose heart. Why? Because we're led by what's born of God on the inside of us, that inner man. See, there's so many times where all hell seems to be breaking loose around me, but you know what? I've got a peace. And the Bible even says that peace beyond your understanding. And you know what that peace ends up doing then is guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The key to this life, the key to overcoming life is us being led by our inner man. Is our inner man is our strength, because that's what's born of God. But see, it's got to connect with our thought life. It has to connect with our attitude. It has to connect with our emotions. It has to connect with our reactions. I mean, how many times have you said, oh my gosh, I didn't mean that. Oh my gosh, I just blurted that out. Look, I didn't think before I spoke. I'm so sorry. That is not what I meant. Okay? And you're trying to unring the bell and you're unraveling the knot and you're trying to figure it out. But the bottom line is, it was in your heart. That's why you said it. I didn't mean to call you fat, stupid, and full of bad breath. It just, I don't know where that even came from. See, but we've got to be led by our spirits now. And that's our inner man. See, that's what's truly born of God. Man, the rest of us, man, we're maturing. The Bible says to renew your mind daily. Man, you've got it. Why? Because every day the world floods our minds. Man, doubt and unbelief and bad attitude and false and lies and deception, man, floods our lives. So what do we have to do? We've got to make sure that the word is continually flowing into our life. And you know what the Bible talks about? It being our daily bread, our daily sustenance. Man, if I said, how many hours this week have you been in the Word? And man, there's people that say, man, I've been in the Word for 5 hours this week or 10 hours this week. But there's others, maybe an hour accumulated this week. Maybe 10 minutes. Maybe, man, I haven't been in the Word this week. Do you understand? You're not feeding your inner man not being in the Word. All you're doing is your flesh, and the stuff that really brings destruction in your life is just growing and building and growing. I don't know why this isn't working out. Because this isn't a 45-minute session to get you through the week. All this is here, let me just tell you, this is just an opportunity for you maybe to catch an appetite. How many guys, man, you start drinking coffee, you start drinking beer, you start drinking scotch, all of those things. The first time you took a shot of liquor, you didn't go, oh my gosh, that's really good. You're like, oh my gosh, that blew the back of my head off. And you're like, shoot. And then you're like this kind, and you're like, man, give me a... You want another one? No. It's like the first time you take a big puff and inhale a cigarette. Man, you turn green and you start dry heaving and then vomit. But let me tell you, so you know what the expression for that is that you acquire a taste for it. Your flesh is the same way. Your outer man's the same way with the word. You have to acquire a taste for it. Because you know what your mind's going to say? Your mind's going to say, I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, why did Jesus say it's simple enough for the smallest child to understand? If it's confusing, it's not God. That means if you're confused about something, you gotta think, oh, wait a second, this is simpler. I'm making this too complex, I'm making this too hard. See, and because that's what the enemy's gonna do. The enemy is two things, what the Bible said. Other than being the enemy of our soul, he is the author of confusion, and the father of lies. See, so a lie in your life is you're never gonna make it. You're like, wait a second. Does God's promise ever equate to you not making it? Never. See, but it's so easy for you to receive that in your flesh that you're not gonna make it or it's not gonna work out. Oh, this stuff never works out for me. Like it's a lottery ticket. Man, there's people that speak of God's blessing and the promises of God in their life like they win a lottery ticket where they're like, I never win anything. Now that ever works out in my life. Do you understand? That's the farthest thing from the truth. The truth is everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Say it again.
Everything.
Everything works together for my good because I love God. Man, you look at it that way, it's like, wait a second. To your flesh, that sounds awkward. It's like, that is ridiculous. All things work together for my good. All things work together for my good. But see, here's how this works in my life. I've got to believe it in my heart. And then I've got to profess it. I've got to say it. And then I've got to do it. I've got to act like things work together in my life. And you'll say, well, you're just faking it. No, you're not. Man, I'll tell you what. My granddaughter Charleston's starting to giggle and laugh. She's not faking it. She hadn't figured it out yet. But let me tell you, you start tickling her, you start nuzzling with her, you make funny faces, she thinks it's funny. But see, you look at it, and the more you do it, if she's 30 years old walking around going, I don't know why that's funny to me. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's simple. And that's what we have to get. A familiar set of verses is Proverbs, the third chapter. In this church, if you've been here a while, you've heard this a dozen times. And there's a reason it's familiar, because it's vital. But Proverbs 3:1, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart, man, that's the buy-in, that you keep God's word. Man, you go verse 2, for length of days and long life. Length of days and long life. Man, I'm sorry, but you've got a your tumor's metastasized, it's spread, you got it here, and there's nothing we can do. Well, that's a report. But another report is for length of days and long life and peace, your word's gonna add to me, God. See, peace is pivotal here with God. This life of peace. See, the world's trying to get peace. The world's protesting for peace. Everybody, man, we want peace. We got to give our opinion. Let me tell you, you have to understand, it's virtually impossible for the world to have a peaceful protest, okay? They come from two completely different arenas. So where do we find our peace? From where God is in our life. That's where I know, because God blesses our lives. That's what that word promises. But he also gives peace in our situations. Like you might be in the middle of something rough right now. It might be to your flesh. It might be debilitating. And you're like, God, snatch me up out of this. God, come on, you got to do it. God, you can do anything, because you can know God can't do anything. God can only do what his word says he can do. And what his word says he can do is, man, you're going to get through it with flying colors. It's going to be a victory in your life. Man, otherwise, we got an All-American baseball player sitting in the front row. He could be down 6 or 7 runs in the third inning and go, ah, let's just quit. Let's just leave here. God, just make that 6-run deficit that we have, make it a win. And we're just going to quit. No, we're not. What are we going to do? Man, we're going to fight our way back, and we're going to win in the end. And you know what? We're never going to forget this victory. Man, we will win and not lose. We will prevail. Why? Because I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I remember hearing Kenneth Copeland 40 years ago say, it's my ball, it's my bat, we play till I win. And see, so you're going through something right now and you're like, why am I going through this? To prove that you're an overcomer. To prove, yet in all these things is what Paul said. He didn't just get out and say, hey, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthened you. Life's just going to be a ball for you. It's going to be groovy every day. No, he didn't. He said, yet in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Yet in more, I'm in all these things, no matter what I face, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I'm telling you, that's the vigilance of our faith. Why? Because I believe, so I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna say it with such a passion that my life is gonna equate to it. In verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Man, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And lean not to your own understanding, But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Man, lean not to your own understanding. In my Bible, I wrote ever. See, I got this figured out. God, I've got this. I became a Christian in my early 20s. I didn't know what I didn't know. But you know what? I didn't lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledged him. Let me tell you, you acknowledge God, you're going to find your peace. You're going to follow after that peace. You're going to be led by your peace. And your peace, listen, is going to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, that's where we're not led by our flesh anymore. You know, Paul said, and this is taken out of context often by preachers. They'll say, when you're preaching, don't look at their faces. And we're thinking, okay, when you got a mic on and you've got a crowd of people and you're in an assembly and they've warmed you up with the music and you've already given, don't look at their faces, okay? That's not in context. In context is in my life, when I speak God's word, doesn't matter what kind of expression anybody has on their face. Man, that doctor that says there's no hope, it's like, oh, you know what? That's awesome, doc, because my hope is in Jesus. My hope is in him, and my hope is strong. And you know what? I have what I say, so guess what I'm gonna say today? I will live and not die in Jesus' name. And is doubt gonna come into your life? Doubt is gonna flood your life. But are you gonna receive that doubt? Not if you wanna win. I don't know about you, I wanna win. I had a Little League baseball coach, we got drubbed. And you know what, we went over, we're sitting in the dugout, and I'm looking over those guys, man, they're a foot taller than us, and they got better uniforms, and they got better gear, and man, they're all happy because they won, and we got old nasty torn up flannel unis and hopefully the glove was going in the right hand, and we're sitting there and that coach said, let me tell you something, boys. We might have lost, but we're gonna win something. We're gonna learn something in this loss. And I'm looking at him and I don't remember another thing he said. All I can think is I did learn something in this loss. I hate it. I don't ever want to do it again. I want this to be the last time I lose. What if the last time you receive sickness is the last time you receive? What's the last time that you got conned? What if that's the last time? What if the last time that you, no, we look at this. We can't be led by our feelings and live in victory. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. Every choice in our life, every decision we make, every phrase that we utter in our life, it causes an effect. Do you want to affect your life this way, or do you want to affect your life this way? See, that's the bottom line.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.